श्रीमद्भागवतम् प्रमाणम् अमलम्
Krishna Nika Komadi, Second Ray of Light, Morning Pastimes, Prata Lila, 6 to 8:36 a.m. At sunrise, Mother Yashoda, abounding with parental affection, enters Krishna's bejeweled bedroom to wake him up, saying, "Oh, my dear boy, please get up now, the night is over. Just see the beauty of the rising sun. Your young servants are standing here waiting to expertly serve you. My child, Manjuvak, your pet parrot, whom you fed with your own hand, sits blissfully in his golden cage trying to lovingly wake you with a sweet voice saying, 'Jai, Jai.' You are feeling lazy because you have been asleep, but now it is time to get up." Saying this, Mother Yashoda gently rubs Krishna's body for a short time and then embraces him in her arms. Hearing his mother's sweet words and feeling her affectionate embrace, Krishna considers for a moment and then stretches his limbs, yawns, and pretends that he is just waking up. Mother Yashoda instructs a talented group of devoted boys and girls in their duties and then enters her own quarters. Krishna's waking and morning duties. While Krishna rouses from sleep, his eyes look very beautiful as they repeatedly open and close. It appears that he is half awake and half asleep. Nidra Devi, the goddess of sleep, seems reluctant to leave him due to the pain of separation. The very fortunate young servant girls then perform arti by slowly moving a splendid ghee lamp inlaid with auspicious jewels before Krishna. The joyful young male and female servants become absorbed in various services. The boys have beautiful turbans tied on their heads, and necklaces sway on everyone's chests. Their bodies are as fragrant as lotus pollen, and they wear colorful garments of dark blue, green, white, red, and yellow colors. They are all adorned with the noblest of qualities. Rising from bed, Krishna sits gracefully upon a beautiful footstool that is illuminated by four different jewels. With cheerful hearts, all the male and female servants begin to serve Krishna. As the male servants pour a stream of camphor-scented water into his cupped palms, Krishna slowly washes the lotus whorl of his face. After drying his face and hands with a soft, fine piece of cloth, Krishna beams a gentle smile and takes a soft toothbrushing twig from his servants. While Krishna gently brushes his teeth, which reflect the radiance of his jeweled finger ring, his earrings swing back and forth to fill the eyes of all with happiness. Krishna holds the two ends of a jeweled golden tongue scraper with his thumb and forefingers and cleanses his tongue, reddened from chewing tambula. A sparkling diamond bracelet caresses Krishna's wrist. Krishna then calmly cleanses his face with pure water and dries it. Casting a charming glance from his restless eyes, Krishna makes the splendid mirror before him bear witness to all this. Holding a ruby-inlaid comb in her lotus-bud hand, one Sevadasi servant girl, with an innocent smile, gently combs Krishna's hair. The comb in her bangles tinkles sweetly as she moves her hand. As the day begins, one servant who is expert in the fine arts removes Krishna's night clothes and dresses him in fresh ones. He then washes and dries Krishna's lotus feet and deftly wraps a turban around his head. Upon completing his morning duties, Krishna quickly goes to the gigantic Goshala to milk the cows. Afterwards, Krishna and all his dear friends, who are similar in nature to him, head to the jewel-bedecked wrestling arena. Eager to engage in their cherished daily pastime, they joke and laugh along the way. Krishna pairs off with opponents of the same age and fights fearlessly, locking hand to hand and arm to arm. With great displays of individual strength, anger, and boasting, they wrestle with each other, sometimes jumping in front, sometimes attacking from the side, and sometimes circling around, darting forward and back with amazing skill. Krishna's massage, bath, and dressing. After resting a while, Krishna and a few of his friends who have accumulated heaps of pious credits and who are like the roots of the tree of transcendental virtues enter the massage parlor to be massaged by oil by some affectionate, sweetly smiling servants. These servants are not only skilled in the art of massage, but they are also expert at telling tales and composing verses. Krishna feels great satisfaction as they rub his body with costly aromatic oils. These boundlessly fortunate masseurs, who are praised even by Krishna's dearest friends, massage Madhava's entire body from head to toe, always careful to rub neither too firmly nor too gently. After dispelling Krishna's fatigue by the oil massage, the servants massage him with a soft, finely ground mixture of fragrant saffron and camphor. A group of young female servants, Kumara Dasis, then wash Krishna's hair with a decoction of yogurt and amalaki juice. They bathe lotus-eyed Krishna with camphor-scented water poured from crystal and golden pots. One Dasi, glowing with intense affection, repeatedly squeezes the decoction from Krishna's hair with a piece of cloth. Someone else rubs Krishna's soft limbs with her gentle hands, and another girl pours water from a golden pitcher with a spout. Afterwards, some of the male servants complete Krishna's bath by pouring water over his head from an auspicious conch shell. Then they carefully dry Krishna's body with towels. First, they affectionately rub Krishna with soft, finely woven pieces of damp cloth. Then they dry him with soft white towels. One gently smiling servant skillfully dries the water from Krishna's hair with many small towels. Another boy deftly replaces the wet towel on Madhava's hips with a dry one. One boy quickly arrives with two fresh silken garments, the color of molten gold. Another boy removes the towel from Krishna's hips and dresses him in his fresh cloth. After washing Krishna's lotus feet, they sit him upon a beautiful gem-studded bench. One young servant boy stands behind Krishna to expertly dress his locks of hair. Over and over in various ways he strokes and arranges Madhava's lustrous hair with a jeweled comb. He then gracefully parts Krishna's hair and binds the halves with a strip of silken cloth. The rich blackness of Krishna's hair is enhanced against the light background of his fine garment. Together they appear like a black snake that has just shed his outer skin. Whose eyes would not become captivated upon gazing at Krishna's hairstyle? Krishna's glossy hair is naturally curly, but after bathing his locks become straight. One expert servant boy again forms them into elegant ringlets. Using a mixture of saffron and sandalwood paste, he decorates Krishna's beautiful forehead with a circular tilak mark that looks just like the full moon. Afterwards, Krishna dons his beautiful deep blue Kostuba gem, the king of all jewels, which is even more splendid than a ruby, emerald, diamond, or sapphire. One servant drapes incomparably attractive strands of pearls around Krishna's neck. One strand rests on Krishna's broad chest. One hangs to his navel, and another reaches to his knees. A servant attaches Krishna's Makara Kundala, shark-shaped earrings, whose splendor increases the luster of his cheeks. Krishna had previously worn these earrings, but during his bathing festival they had gotten wet, so they were removed, dried, and again brought to him. One servant adorns Krishna with an attractive jeweled pendant hung upon a single Mangal Sutra, lucky thread. He bedecks Krishna with armlets inlaid with emeralds and other stones and puts bracelets upon his wrists. Another servant slips a splendid, faultless ruby on Krishna's ring finger. The reddish hue of the gem transforms by contacting the bluish luster of Krishna's skin. He puts a splendid and colorful jeweled seal ring on Krishna's forefinger. A servant wraps a brilliant yellow diamond-studded cummerbund around Krishna's waist, and a string of bells adorned with sparkling rubies around his hips. Just above Krishna's lotus feet, another servant attaches a pair of tinkling ankle bells inlaid with diamonds and illumined by the gleaming of Krishna's moon-like toenails. Then he lovingly holds up a splendid jeweled mirror before Krishna's shining moon-like face. Meanwhile, one servant bearing the order of King Nanda enters Krishna's dressing room and announces, "Hey Krishna, your father requests you to donate thousands of cows to the local Brahmin community." Obeying his father's order, sweet-faced Krishna Chandra, who is a treasure house of good qualities, binds his hair with a turban and dons his yellow upper cloth. After sipping water for purification, Krishna offers thousands of cows in charity within his sanctified mind. So Krishna will not feel any inconvenience while waiting for her delicious cooking to be finished. Mother Yashoda sends over a tasty snack. After eating the mixture of butter, yogurt, milk, and cream sprinkled with particles of camphor, Krishna, whose face outshines the full moon, then sips water and chews some betel nuts while leaning on the shoulder of an intimate friend. Radhika's bath and dressing. The beautiful and affectionate sankhis of Radha automatically wake up at the end of night. Bubbling with eagerness to serve their beloved Kishori, they quickly leave their homes and assemble outside Radha's bedroom. One sankhi brings a seat inlaid with diamonds, and another brings an attractive footrest. Others bring vessels of water for washing Radha's face, along with the ingredients and implements for brushing her teeth. Radha rises from bed and sits upon a golden seat. Because she has just awakened, her clothing and hair are disheveled. All of Radha's sakis enjoy seeing her place her dainty lotus feet upon the opulent footrest. Radhika's eyes roll with drowsiness and her body radiates waves of splendor as she greets her dear associates. The lotus-faced sakis, who assist Radha in the amorous arts, slowly pour camphor-scented water into Radha's cupped hands from a golden pitcher. Shri Radha sips the water, rinses her mouth, and then expels the water. By the touch of her lotus hand, the water turns crimson red. After wiping her mouth with a fine white cloth, Radha brushes her attractive teeth with a toothbrush twig and removes the red betel nut stains from her tongue with a golden tongue scraper. Radha rinses her mouth again with clear water. As she sits upon the gem-studded throne, Radha brightens the room with a radiant smile. Lalita Sakhi removes all the marks left from Cupid's battle from Radha's body with a piece of fine cloth. Then she removes Radha's sweet-smelling nightclothes and puts on a garment to cover her during her oil massage. Another dear Sakhi removes the veil from Radha's head and loosens her shiny black hair. The bangles on her arms jingle together while she affectionately arranges Srimati's tresses with a jeweled comb. After washing Radha's lotus feet, one expert Sakhi holds up a mirror before her lotus face. She then lovingly rubs Radha's body with sweetly scented reddish oil. This Sakhi becomes slightly bashful whenever she sees a part of Radhika's gorgeous form after removing some clothing. Therefore, after rubbing that part of Srimati's body with oil, the Sakhi immediately covers it. After Radha's body is covered with oil, her affectionate, pure-hearted Sakhis massage her from head to toe. Then they anoint Kishori with a pleasant powder composed of camphor mixed with musk, saffron, and sandalwood. One intimate Sakhi cleanses Radha's hair with pure, fragrant amalaki juice. Afterward, she affectionately rinses Radha's hair with gentle streams of clear water poured from a golden pitcher. Lalita and Vishaka, standing on either side of Sumukhi Radha, slowly bathe her with camphor-scented water, which is just the right temperature, from pitchers inlaid with rows of diamonds. Another Sakhi wraps Radha's beautiful tresses in a towel and squeezes out the excess water. Removing the towel, she spreads out Radha's hair with her fingers and wraps it once again. Using a soft cloth, one fortunate gopi rubs Radhika's moon-like face, while others dry her neck and ears. Other sakis dry Radha's full breasts, beautiful black and lovely graceful arms. One gopi wraps a dry towel around Radhika's hips and removes her wet undergarment. After completely drying Radha's hips by gently rubbing the towel with her hands, the gopi then replaces it with a charming red petticoat. A talented saki dries all the water from Radhika's splendid breasts and then carefully ties on a fine gem-studded silken bodice that was expertly sewn by Radha's artistic girlfriends. Radha's delicate, ruffled red petticoat is as effulgent as the sun. Upon that, Radhika dons a golden-threaded dress that kisses the tips of the toes of her lotus feet. A gopi ties a beautiful silk cloth which is adorned with two pendants made of sparkling pearls and diamonds around Radha's waist. Drawn together in different places, the shape of this cummerbund resembles that of a lotus flower. The sakis then sit Radha on a gem-studded seat covered with soft cloth to joyfully wash her lotus feet and adorn her with many auspicious ornaments. Using jeweled combs in their fingers, the sakis repeatedly spread Radha's tresses and perfume them with the smoke of black sandalwood incense. The gopis then curl Radhika's beautiful locks that have become straight from her bath. Someone paints charming musk tilak on Srimati's forehead and vermilion on the part of her hair. One saki places a beautiful ornament upon Radha's hair part that is more brilliant than a host of diamonds. One saki ties a diamond bathed by the hue of a chaplet of fresh Malati flowers on Radhika's head. With a red silken string, she then binds Radha's hair into a bun, which glows with a sparkling diamond and two pendulous strings of pearls. One saki places upon each of Radha's ears a beautiful ornament made of a large circular pin fastened to a small golden pin piercing the middle of her ear. The colorful precious stone set in this charming ear ornament casts glittering reflections in all directions. One sundari, beautiful girl, places a shimmering string of tiny pearls in Radha's forehead just below the edge of her hair. Another saki places two elegant diamond earrings upon Radhika's lovely ears. One saki decorates Radharani's eyes with kajal and rasanjana, that's vitriol of copper, which make Radha's eyes appear like a pair of Cupid's arrows. The single pearl fastened in her right nostril reflects the red and blue tints of Radha's lips and eye cosmetics. One saki adorns Radhika's graceful neck with a string of gleaming pearls that hangs over her blue silk sari. Resembling a broad smile, the string of pearls fills her sakis with delight. One saki ties jeweled armlets midway upon Radha's upper arms and other jeweled bracelets midway on her forearms. Then the saki ties a beautiful multicolored lucky thread around Radha's wrist, which is spun of silk and illuminated by the jewels of her bracelets. One saki slips a ring on the little finger of Radha's right hand and rings on four fingers of her left hand. Another saki places a beautiful necklace containing a splendid golden locket over Radha's breasts. One saki ties a jeweled sash around Radhika's belly and a diamond belt below that. A gopi fixes beautiful jeweled rings on Radhika's toes and anklets on her ankles. Another saki ties jewel-studded ankle bells on the upper part of Radhika's feet. Someone else holds up a diamond mirror before Radha to show her the gopi's fine artistry. After decorating every part of Radhika's auspicious body and judging that it is a most delightful sight, they drape a fine woolen shawl over Radhika's shoulders. The incomparable excellence of Radha's beautiful body eclipses all beauty in the three worlds. Fragrant, beautifully dressed, and lavishly ornamented, Radha stands amidst her sakis. Suddenly, a most famous, trusted saki sent by Brajeshwari Yashoda arrives and speaks some very pleasing words. Oh, beautiful Radhika, Krishna's mother Yashoda loves you dearly, so she has sent me here with a message for you. Please listen carefully to Mother Yashoda's request. Please come to my house with your virtuous expert sakis and cook a variety of dishes for the pleasure of Krishna. Now listen, you girls are all respectable, humble, pious, and expert in cooking. You have firm devotion to Krishna, and you are dedicated maidservants of Braja's queen Yashoda. Therefore, O noble girls, what I say is right. It is quite proper that you should go to Yashoda's house and cook breakfast for Krishna. After hearing these words, Radharani, the embodiment of all Lakshmis, becomes completely blissful and then gracefully walks to Nandagram to cook for Krishna. Arriving at Nandagram, beautiful Radha humbly bows down before Krishna's mother. Yashoda greets Radha, clasps her lotus hand, and immediately takes her to Rohini, who is in charge of the cooking. Youthful Radha offers respects to Rohini, the mother of Balaram, and enters the kitchen with Yashoda and Rohini. Radhika respectfully greets the kitchen staff with sweet words and a gentle smile. Radha becomes very happy, seeing all the necessary ingredients and utensils for cooking ready and waiting. After looking at the different kinds of pumpkins, potatoes, yams, arums, turnips, bottle gourds, eggplants, radishes, kidney beans, lady fingers, green bananas, plantain flowers, spinach, cucumbers, chickpeas, and innumerable types of greens, Radhika assigns each of the clever sakis an appropriate tasty dish to make for Krishna's pleasure. The kitchen maids know exactly which vegetables are most suitable for each of the different dishes to be prepared, so they begin to cut and chop them up in the proper ways. Meanwhile, the Braja Sundaris grind cardamom, clove, black pepper, ginger, nutmeg, mace, cinnamon, cumin, coconut pulp, black and white mustard seeds, rice, dal beans, and turmeric. The ground powders are stored in golden cups with tight-fitting lids covered with cloths. Pure-hearted Radha then sets her heart on the pastime of cooking. Beautiful Radhika puts aside any unnecessary ornaments and clothing, and then washes her lotus hands and feet. With great respect and eagerness, Radha joins Rohini Ma at the best of kitchen stoves to begin cooking. At Rohini Ma's signal, the girls place nicely cut pieces of wood into the fires and set artistically crafted cooking pots of copper, brass, and silver on top of the ovens. The fires produce no smoke and blaze a brilliant red without any need for fanning. Only a little moisture sizzles from the burning wood. Whenever salt is needed for the various dishes, the maidservants put just the right amount into Radha's hand. The leaves are cooked in mustard oil to produce the correct variety of taste. Two kinds of preparations are made by mixing ground mustard, ginger, and coconut with jackfruit seeds. Many excellent preparations are made using pumpkin, potato, kachu, and radish. One preparation contains mustard, ginger, and bitter leaves fried in mustard oil. A tasty dish is made from small pieces of eggplant cooked with mung dal patties along with ground ginger and pieces of coconut fried in mustard oil. Small pieces of eggplant, yam, kakkorola, banana flour, manna, kachu, batola, and white pumpkin are dried, skewered, and deep fried. Eggplant, green banana, coconut, chickpeas, and mung dal patties are mixed along with pepper and sugar to create two different dishes in huge quantities, one spicy and the other sweet. A soup with an excellent aroma is made from beans mixed with coconut and prithu root mixed with lots of ghee, hing, ginger, and raw sugar. Another dish is made by mixing finely ground coconut, sugar syrup, milk, and mung dal. A delicious mung soup is produced by spicing it with cardamom, clove, pepper, hing, and ginger. One soup is made using skinned whole mung beans, which are boiled, mixed with milk, and spiced with cardamom, clove, pepper, hing, and sugar. With unrivaled expertise, Radha prepares a fourth soup in large quantity from husked beans and chopped radish with lots of ghee, hing, and pepper. She selects the best banana flowers and finely chops them after discarding the fibers. Cooking them with milk, hing, and pepper, Radha makes a dish called maricha. She makes another dish by dicing mand and rasi. Radha skins some unripe jackfruits and cooks them with dal patties, hing, pepper, and other spices. She slices a bottled gourd in long, fine strips, boils it in water and milk, and stirs it until it thickens. By adding sugar, pepper, cumin, hing, and other spices, Radha produces another delectable dish. Radha makes a sour yogurt dish by mincing ripe pumpkin, frying it in mustard oil, spicing it with ginger, hing, and anise, and adding thickened buttermilk. She cuts radish and puru into circles and cooks them in yogurt and black sugar. Radhika creates another sour preparation by adding tamarind to this dal. Chickpea flour, yogurt, turmeric, and citron juice are mixed and formed into soft, attractive balls called kanjikabati. Radha makes yet another sour preparation by mixing green mango with mustard seeds and frying it in ghee. A sweet and sour preparation is produced by mixing ripe mango with water, sugar, and milk. Radhika combines roasted sesame with dried mango to make another sour preparation. One spectacular dish is made from toasted sesame and cinnamon. Green and ripe mangoes are mixed with sweetened milk and hing to produce more sour dishes. Thus, Radha cooks innumerable preparations with enticing aromas for the pleasure of Krishna, Balaram, Nanda, and Yashoda. She places the pots of finished items on jeweled and golden trays after covering them with gold and jeweled inlaid lids. While the maidservants fan her, Radha makes sweets and cakes and engages her sakis in various sevas. Cakes are prepared from coconut, rice, roasted sesame, and milk. Warm, filtered water is poured over these, and then they are left covered. After adding condensed milk, these cakes will be called chitra. An exotic, huge sweet ball named Sada Dugdha Kupi is prepared from cream mixed with pepper, camphor, and raw sugar. Varieties of pistachas are produced using mung dal and other ingredients. Jilavika, Matahari, Puru, Pupa, Gaja, Nadi, and Saraswati are also made. The talented sakis also make kaichura, darimaka, sakara palamukta, and laduka. They make ladu from condensed curdled milk. They also make manohara, hamsakele, asobarika, daibara, golabara, atakele, and veni, that is wheat noodles cooked in milk and sugar. With great speed and skill, Radha and her sakis make chandrakanti, Lalita, Amritapuli, and many other excellent sweets. Lalita and other sakis prepare milk, yogurt, butter, buttermilk, sarabhaji, shrikhand, and many other edibles and flavorful drinks.